Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. Libby, oh my gosh.
What?
Have you heard about the new Lake Erie West?
I've been hearing the buzz, but what is going on?
Well, the news is TMACOG, the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments, rebranded.
Okay.
They rebranded, and they're now Lake Erie West.
Interesting.
I know, but I don't really know why they rebranded or what the whole deal is.
Yeah.
So I think we should bring in a guest to help us out.
Probably, yeah.
And who better to help us out than the wonderful Ansley Mann, who is joining us in studio today. Hello, Ansley.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
We're so excited to chat all about the rebrand, but also get to know you as a young professional working in what most people don't really know about, like that area of industry. So we're excited to chat.
No, I'm so excited to tell you all about what I do and like my industry.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So kick us off a little bit of the background. So did you grow up in the area?
Yeah, I grew up in the area. I am proud rival school of Riley's. I went to Southview. Thank you. But so I'm from the Toledo area originally. And then from high school, I went to undergrad at Lourdes University and I loved it. I graduated in 2023. And then from undergrad, I experimented with a grad school and then was like, maybe this isn't for me at the moment.
Yeah.
I worked in a law firm for about a year, did some internships, and then landed here at Lake Erie West. I keep wanting to say TMACOG still.
I know. I feel like that's one of the hazards with the rebrand, right?
I know.
But let's go back to college. So you are such a proud ambassador of Lourdes University, and you talk all the time about how your experience there shaped your career today. So can you talk a little bit about your experience at Lourdes, what you were involved in, and then you studied history, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
So while I was an undergrad, I was a member of the women's tennis team, and that was a really awesome experience. I was able to travel around the state and the region a little bit. So I think it was Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, did that kind of whole loop. And then I was also involved in student government. So I was student body president my senior year, and I absolutely loved it. And that just kind of shaped what I wanted to do and how I wanted to, be involved in the community and stuff along those lines.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. It was such a really cool experience. And then as a part of student government, I was at the time we were searching for a new university president. So as a result, I was able to be on the board of that, of the search committee as the only student, which was, again, a really cool experience to have as an undergrad.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, being invited into a room where big decisions are happening.
You're 22 years old and you're like, I don't know why I'm in this room, but I'm here and I'm having fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just a testament to the fact that they do a great job of including their young people and giving some good opportunity. And we found out recently the news about Lourdes University closing. And obviously you being an ambassador and being so involved post-grad as well, tell us a little bit about how you are feeling, how you're doing with this news.
It's a lot. I know I spoke with some friends about the closing and just, some friends from undergrad. It's an interesting feeling. I don't know how I feel about it quite yet, but as an alumni, I'm sad and it's just a lot to kind of wrap our heads around. But I think ultimately, I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure. That's okay. Yeah. It's a lot to process. So.
It is a lot to process. But you know what?
Things happen. And I think you are one of the lucky ones who kind of got to have your whole experience there and take away such great memories from Lourdes University that you can carry even with this sad news, which is really nice.
Absolutely, yes.
And obviously, prior to your current full-time job, as you started to mention, you wore many different hats. So can you tell us a little bit about, first, you worked on a couple different campaigns. So you worked with Senator Rob Portman and Congressman Bob Latta. So talk a little bit about how you helped them, what your experience was, and kind of what transferable skills you took from that.
I loved working for Senator Portman and Congressman Bob Latta. They were awesome experiences. So I worked for, I'll start with Senator Rob Portman first. I worked initially in the summer of 2020, which, as we well know, was a very interesting time to kind of be in any sort of politics.
Right.
So I worked in his Toledo office, and I worked in person, too, which, again, very strange time.
Yeah.
So what the internship was and what ultimately came were two very different things. So when I worked for Portman, I was answering phones and answering constituent phone calls, and a lot of what people were calling about were it was about COVID related, a lot of social issues like Black Lives Matter and stuff along those lines. So dealing with constituent concerns and like how we can best help them and support them during those kind of times. So that was so interesting, so fun, and I learned a lot about how to like manage people and how to talk to people about these issues and how to best like navigate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I worked for Bob Latta, that was in the summer of 2021. And again, very interesting times. We had just gone through the 2020 election. It was a very, again, interesting time.
Yeah.
I keep repeating that, but it was.
It was.
So again, similar kind of job. I was dealing a lot with constituents and stuff along those lines. And the big issue while I was working with Congressman Latta was passports, actually.
Hmm.
So and I don't know how recently either of you guys have gotten your passport renewed.
Within the past like 2 years for me, at least.
It's been maybe 5 years or so.
Okay. Prior to COVID, it used to take like a month or so to get a passport, right?
Right.
It was hitting 18 weeks.
Wow.
So, and this is just for anybody listening too. If you need your passport expedited, reach out to your local congressman or local senator. They can help you out.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So we were helping people try and expedite passports and like getting them up to Detroit or wherever the closest place was to get their passports expedited.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I went to the library for help just because that was the resource that I knew. I never even knew that you could just reach out to your local government to get some help with that. That's so interesting.
No, local government gets such like a bad rep. Like you can literally ask your congressman or your senator for at least information and be put in the right place.
Yes.
Like it is such a resource and a tool that people underutilize.
Definitely. Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then after that, you kind of got more into the law side of things. So you were able to work with both Shoemaker, Loop and Kendrick, and then also Groth and Associates. So yeah, tell us a little bit about what your day-to-day looked like and what kind of skills you were building.
Sure. So I did a year of law school, like kind of that was like my goal. And so I did a year at the University of Toledo, and at least at the time, just not for me at this exact moment.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of where all the legal stuff kind of comes in. So I interned at Shoemaker and Loop going into my senior year of undergrad, and I loved it. I loved working at Shoemaker, and anybody that works at Shoemaker can tell you it's just like a great environment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I worked in their records department, so I was like very low man on the totem pole. So I dealt a lot with like closing cases and just kind of being like that administrative side.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then after my first year of law school, I worked for Groth and Associates, and I worked in family law specifically, and that was a really fun job.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so much fun.
What kinds of things were you dealing with?
Anything you can think of, really. So we dealt a lot with, like, again, I work specifically in family law, so we did a lot of divorces and dissolutions, custody cases. And what I really enjoyed about, like, that kind of work specifically was the problems were just really funny. And I know that's, like, a bad thing to say, but, like, some people will come up with just the most outrageous issue, and you're just like, how did you get here?
Yeah, that's definitely, I feel like in family law, you would see a lot of, on the flip side, very severe and intense cases, but then also some things that are like, okay, this is kind of hilarious to deal with.
Any lawyer can tell you, again, with any practice of law, that there's some issues that are like really, really like, ooh. And then there's other ones that are like, this is just, how did we get here?
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously with your love of local government and not pursuing the law route, you stayed in that space through Lake Erie West, formerly known as TMACOG. So first of all, why did the rebrand happen? Let's talk a little bit about that before we get into your day today.
First and foremost, I love the rebrand.
Yes.
So originally, you know, Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments has this connotation that it's kind of Toledo-centric.
Yeah.
And we're not. We're a regional organization that kind of goes across Northwest Ohio. And the best way I always describe what Lake Erie West Regional Council, formerly TMACOG, does is imagine Northwest Ohio, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have that picture in your head? Imagine like a sticker on top of that.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we operate as like a regional entity. We're not affiliated technically with like the state, but we're also not like, you know, something completely independent. Like, we work in between those levels.
Yeah. I feel like I resonate a lot with the work that Team ACOG does, just because working at the Toledo Regional Chamber, it's kind of the same situation where we're not directly affiliated with any other particular organization, but it's just bettering the region in the ways that we can. So like where we're helping different small businesses or, you know, local organizations, things like that, you guys on the flip side are then working more in that kind of like governmental affair or elements of that type of the industry. So can you talk a little bit then about like your day to day and your particular job with Lake Erie?
Absolutely. So at Lake Erie West, I am the grants coordinator. So essentially what that means is, let's just say, Riley, you come to me and you say, let's say you're a village. You say, Ansley, I really need a playground. I go, I got you. So what my job then is researching grants and other like other funding sources to help you kind of match up. So you could look through like Ohio Department of Natural Resources, for example, or ODNR, and potentially find a match for your specific project. Mm-hmm. Or you could go to a private philanthropy or, you know, corporation and see if there's something that matches up. That's kind of what I really enjoy about that type of work, is the problem solving and like the matching and communication with like our members specifically. Kind of that member benefit and building those relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Can you break down a little bit more about the grant writing process? Like, what does that kind of look like? What do you need to know?
So I don't actually grant write at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But grant writing, though, I give anybody whose career it is to grant write a lot of props, because it is really technical. There's a lot of pieces and a lot of like things that go into that. So when you, especially like federal grants, for example, you'll get like a, it's called a NOFO, a Notice of Funding Opportunity. And in some grants, it's like 5 pages, and some of it's like 100-something.
Sure.
And you have to, it's like the style guide or the rule book that you have to follow. You have to like, okay, like if you're applying for this, you need to have all of these things plus some. And yeah. Then if you're applying for the other part of the grant, it's like, okay, you need to have all of these things too plus some. So it's really technical, and it's really just like a lot to kind of follow.
For yeah. Sure. And you are certified in grant writing, though.
Yeah, I have. I did like a, it's through the Grant Writing for Government Grants. It's through the American Grant Writing Association. So I'm certified to kind of do those types of things. At the present moment, that's not what I'm doing.
Fair. Very fair. But it's cool to have that skill.
Yes, and it is cool to have that skill.
Something you can keep in the area that you are working in.
No, absolutely. And like I said, the pairing with our members is kind of what I really enjoy. And then we also send out a newsletter, too, to our members biweekly. We call it Money Talks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, Money Talks. So we send out a curated list to all of our members and, you know, prompt them to contact us to kind of start, again, fostering and building those relationships as well. And then the other facet of my job is doing a little bit more of like government affairs work as well. So again, right into my own personal wheelhouse. We did for our winter General Assembly, we did legislative fact sheets. So I kind of cherry picked some legislation and like went through like the actual body of the text and analyzed it, and then kind of built that out for our members. And then we're also doing a regional policy agenda, kind of starting the process of that. And that should be by the end of this year, beginning of next year, kind of finalized.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I feel like something that not a lot of people really understand, especially when you are not really in that industry, kind of breaking down that legislation and stuff can be a little daunting.
Yeah. It's honestly, when we're back to like when we were talking about transferable skills, surprisingly enough, and it shouldn't really be that surprising, I guess, is law school actually helped me a lot with kind of how to break down pieces of legislation and, you know, how to kind of analyze things and think about things in a different lens. So yeah. That was a really, shout out University of Toledo Law School, but that really helped me out.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, listening to you talk about some of these projects that you're working on and being able to help people, can you give us a little bit more insight on some specific projects that you've worked on with Lake Erie West that have felt super meaningful and impactful for you?
So we, back in December, backtrack a little bit more. In May or June, we applied for a federal grant called Safe Streets and Roads for All through the United States Department of Transportation. And in December, we got notice that we won it. And so right now we're in the process of like, you know, doing all the grant agreements and, you know, starting to get the money and get all the funding. So we're doing a planning grant with Seneca and Sandusky and Ottawa counties to do, you know, like safety planning for them. So that's been really rewarding. being a part of that.
That's really cool.
What does safety planning kind of look like then?
That is a great question.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm not a transportation planner, so I don't know like the exact ins and outs of what that looks like. But it's, again, something that they need, and especially in those counties.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So I'm curious, too, when we talk about, you know, local government affairs, what are some things that young professionals should know but maybe don't or maybe have a misconception about?
Definitely going back to what I said earlier, like you can always go to your local government officials, whether it's local, state or federal, and kind of start with them about the processes of, you know, answering your question, whether it be about passports like we mentioned, or just like immigration issues or taxes or just questions about the pieces of legislation that they're, you know, proposing. Mm-hmm. I think, again, especially at the local and state level and federal too, but I'm going to use state, local and state as my examples. Your politicians are very accessible. You should definitely reach out to them and definitely ask them questions, or if you have comments, like reach out to them. I think that is a very important thing people forget. It's not just somebody on a screen or somebody on a news story. Like you can reach out to them or you can reach out to their office, and they appreciate it and they want those conversations.
Do you have an example of an experience that you had that kind of proved to you that, oh, as young people, if we're writing into our local government or our state government, they actually are paying attention to what we're saying. And it's not just a futile effort to try and get our voices heard.
I think when I worked for Rob Portman, like I said, I worked during COVID. And again, my main task as a 19-year-old intern was answering the phones. People were at the time calling a lot about the stimulus checks. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a very tumultuous time. It was a very stressful time, if you may remember. And, you know, being able to help navigate and help people navigate, you know, getting, making sure they were getting those stimulus checks or making sure that they were qualified for them. And again, it doesn't necessarily answer your question directly, but I think that is a really important thing. Like you can call your representatives, whether it's state, local or federal, to help navigate things, help figure things out. And if we don't have the answer, we can help, or you know, your local legislators can help you get the answer.
Yeah, point you in the right direction. I think it's really impactful for young people to know that it is more accessible than we think.
Yeah, I would say that feels pretty daunting. I'll just call them up. But it's nice to
just,
to know.
Just call Taylor up.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's pretty easy.
Exactly. So then outside of work, you volunteer with a few different organizations. Can you talk a little bit about those and why you're passionate about giving back?
Yes, I volunteer with an organization called Friendship Circle, which I've volunteered with since like high school or middle school. And it is... it's so rewarding. It's so the main, it's a organization that Jewish kids can kind of volunteer with. And so the organization deals with children and young adults and some older adults too that have like developmental issues, mainly autism. And I love it. It is so awesome. You know, once a month or twice a month or whenever they text me, like I said, it's mainly targeted towards high school, but if they text me, I'm there.
Right.
And it's just so much fun. I love it.
And then additionally to your volunteering efforts and your busy work schedule, you're also very involved in the Toledo community through things like Epic, obviously, which is how we interact a lot with each other, but also by playing tennis and then Intergovernmental Affairs Group. I want to hear all about your involvement outside of work and volunteering.
So, like you just said, I still actively try and play tennis. It's just something I hate working out.
Yeah.
And so, like anybody, right?
Right.
I'm like, well, playing tennis is still like, you know, getting cardio and still moving and still doing all that. So I'm trying to do that two or three times a week when I can. Pickleball is my other vice.
Yes.
And so that's fun. I'll play at like Toledo Pickle or, you know, especially in the summer, I'll play in Holland at Strawberry Acres. So like drop in, I guess. But those are like my two kind of like things I do outside of work. And then doing a ton of reading right now too. So I'm trying to stay busy, but the Intergovernment Affairs Group, that's through the Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, which Lake Erie West is an MPO. We're a bunch of different things. We're an MPO. Then we're also we do a lot with like water quality and air quality. Then we also do economic development, which is what I specifically work under. And then like the final kind of ring of this onion is like the Council of Governments, which is we deal with 83 governmental members. So that's kind of when I keep talking about referencing members, that's what that's who we work with. So those could be like villages, cities, towns, and like some other, you know, other entities.
Yeah. And it's so cool to see that you are actively always trying to stay involved and keep up with your professional development and your personal development, not just in the workplace, but in our community and giving back too. That's really admirable.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then before we get to everyone's favorite Roman Empire, can you share your one piece of advice for young professionals listening?
I think my one piece of advice is, and like we've already kind of talked about too, is like I've worn many different hats. It's just kind of go with the flow and like whatever is meant to be will be. And so that's my one piece of advice is like don't force something that's not meant to be there.
Yeah, I love that. And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire. Libby, why don't you kick us off today?
Yeah. So as you guys know, I work at Imagination Station and we get a different exhibit in every few months. And right now we have a King Tut exhibit, which has been really cool. I definitely didn't know enough about Egyptian culture before this, so it's been really fun to learn. But what I cannot stop thinking about is we obviously, like, preparing for the exhibit, watched a lot of different materials and documentaries. And something that has really stuck with me is listening to the people who actually, like, excavated the tomb or, like, who are currently working on different excavations in Egypt talk about, like, just how disappointed they were with like the grave robbings and all of that. And I've just found it so interesting because obviously it's great that we know so much about that time period and the science behind mummies and things because we have been able to open the tombs and look at it firsthand. But it also just doesn't feel that different to me than the grave robbers because they're like, oh, we, you know, they wouldn't want this. They wouldn't want us to disturb their resting place. But then they're, like, actively disturbing the resting place. So it's just been a lot for me to think about, and it's been on my mind. Because, I mean, his body was – the mummy was inside of this resin that they permanently had to melt off. So it's forever changed and in a way that they can't have back. So
yeah, that,
it's a moral dilemma.
That part of it – to me is also really wild, like just the permanent change of losing that.
I mean, it's great.
Really,
it's great to have the findings and it's great to know and be able to see all of that firsthand, but it is just also such a cultural and religious thing for them that it just is disappointing. But at least everything is like has stayed in Egypt, and I mean, that's comforting to
it them. Definitely is a moral dilemma.
I was gonna say, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How familiar are you with the curse?
Yeah, I mean that too. It's like
I don't remember what the guy's name is that discovered it. Do you remember what his name is?
I do, but
it escapes me right now.
Yeah.
But if you aren't familiar with it, you should Google it. The curse is crazy. It like kind of it literally snakes through everybody that was involved with the discovery of the tomb.
Yeah. And is it, I mean, some people are like that's like hocus pocus and some people are like no, that's like actually real. So it's like it's really interesting.
You said not for me to determine, and I claim no negative energy from this
no,
conversation.
Exactly. Like, I'm not opening the tomb.
Yeah. We'll sage the place. It'll be good.
Yes, great. Chris, can we get some sage for the studio? Thank you. Yeah, that's definitely a really great Roman Empire, because I am now going to also not stop thinking about that. For me today...
Yeah, what are you thinking about?
I am thinking about the same thing I think about all the time, which is Bad Bunny.
Yes.
I think about him all the time. All the time. And if you are... If you are like me and if you are on social media and cannot stop seeing all the posts about Bad Bunny's performance at the Super Bowl, then you're in luck because I'm going to just clog your feed with it more right now. So to me, what I think is obviously Bad Bunny is extremely talented. He's an engaging performer. He's a great physical dancer and performer. He has a wonderful voice. His music is engaging and great. What I really loved, though, about his performance was that in a time that feels so divisive and inherently political with every step, what he did was not make a huge statement one way or another or incite any sort of negativity, but instead he created such a gorgeous homage to his home and the way he grew up and all of these things that culturally a lot of people watching the Super Bowl might not understand or know. And so it was really cool to see like the piragua or the casita where everyone was dancing coming together and having all of these other incredible people in the industry come out and dance and support him. And then having the message of spreading that love rather than spreading hate.
Yeah.
And it just felt very connecting and beautiful. It had, I mean, millions and millions of people tuning in to see that type of gorgeous message. It was just powerful. It made me feel inspired. I loved it.
I love Bad Bunny.
I don't listen to Bad Bunny, so don't hate me. But I will say, as somebody who doesn't listen to him, when I watch the Super Bowl halftime show, I don't know how they managed to do this. It made me like feel like I was in, like, the way that the cinematography, it was so good.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with like my sister and her boyfriend, and I'm just like, how are they doing this?
I know. Yeah. I want to be some grass. Like, yeah. I want to be dressed up.
Listen, no, I mean, please. Outside of all of the meaning and all of that, it's just visually appealing.
Yes. Well, back to the grass comment, though. I'll tell you this why. Only reason I mention it. So I saw, I think it was on TikTok, they were like, what the requirements were. It was like between 5'7 and 6 foot, you know, XYZ. And then they're like, preferred marching band experience. And I was like, well, I was in marching band in high school.
You said, wait, do I apply?
I was like, I could have been grass in the halftime show.
There, Libby, where were you?
I know, I could
have done
it. You
should have applied too.
I'm 5'7".
Man.
Yeah, we were perfect for it.
Put me on the grass.
Put me on the field, coach. Like, I'm ready to go.
I know, just call Bad Bunny up. So, Ansley, we've saved the best for last. Please tell us your Roman Empire today.
My Roman Empire that I haven't been able to stop thinking about is not heated rivalry. It is going to be the Olympic figure skaters.
Ooh,
that's a great one.
Though I love heated rivalry, I also love some Olympic figure skaters.
They're like, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
Like, the heated rivalry obsession bled into the Olympic figure skaters. And I can't stop thinking about Ilya what's his last name?
Rozanov?
No, not Ilya Rozanov. Love him. But Ilya,
you see where my head's at.
Yes. The guy, the Olympic figure skater from the United States doing the backflip.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. The backflip.
Incredible.
It was incredible.
I've seen the clip so many times and I watch it every time.
Every single time I like look, I'm like, how is he doing this? Like, and they make it look so easy.
Mm-hmm. Just like gravitationally impossible to me.
I know.
But that's like, wonderful.
Like, I can't walk and chew gum. Like,
right. How like, are you flipping in skates?
Yeah,
my
how
guy?
Are you flipping in skates? Like, like I said, every single time I watch it, the other Roman Empire, again, the Olympics are kind of my Roman Empire, is, I don't know if you've seen it, the guy, I don't remember where he's from, but he announced on live television that he cheated on his girlfriend.
Oh, I missed this.
No, I missed this.
Oh,
that's insane.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
But I think he's like a snowboarder or skier. Yeah. And he won bronze and goes on this newscast and was like, yeah, like I met my girlfriend like 6 months ago. And then like last week, three weeks ago, I cheated on her. And then last week I told her I cheated on her. It's been a weird week. And I was like,
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Who is his PR team?
He like, does not have one.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think he's from, is he from the U.S.? Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think he was from the U.S. So he's figuring it out. He's trying his best. Yeah. But yes, that's my other Roman Empire is that guy.
And I guess the message is if you are missing heated rivalry and you want a little more ice skating, you can watch the Olympics.
There you go.
Watch the Olympics. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ansley, thank you so much for joining us today.
You
are awesome. And thank you for all the work you're doing in our community.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
We want to thank Ansley Mann, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incredible Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.